Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Welcome to a special edition of Your Money Briefing. It's Wednesday, December 6th. I'm Ariana Spuru for The Wall Street Journal. Over the past 3 weeks, we've explored some of the ways that kids are learning about money and spending it.
They said they would hand their kids cash and the kids would hand right back and say, nope, I want Robux or Minecraft coins or V-Bucks for Fortnite.
How some kids are using social media to make money.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything you can think of, MySpace, all of it.
Are you on MySpace page?
Nah, I was just joking.
And what options kids have to save that money once they have it.
It's really a great exercise to start early on because you're teaching yourself, hey, I shouldn't really spend more than what I'm bringing in.
So what do young savers need to know about keeping their money safe? And how can they start practicing good money habits to last over the years? That's after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We've gone over what can influence spending habits for kids, how they're making money, and where they can store it. Up next, keeping it safe. And there's two parts to that, creating good spending habits and not falling into some of the pitfalls that come with digital accounts. Don't worry, we'll talk about both of them. First off, having healthy financial habits matters for kids. Leslie Jones is a youth financial education analyst at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Remember that budget we talked about earlier in the series? It can be hard to stick to it, but Leslie says it's worth sticking with.
If you start giving yourself rules like that, then what's nice as an adult is hopefully they're still kicking in, because that's what we do. It's like, okay, I can afford to do Starbucks twice this week. Well, we need to help kids figure out what their financial habits and norms are going to be, what's going to be important to them. Some kids are naturally savers. Some kids are naturally spenders.
And if you're a kid and you realize you're a spender, that's okay. It just means it's even more important to lean on an adult in your life to help you figure out what you can cut back on.
Being the voice in their head, but outside of their head, that says, do you need that? Is that important? Would it be nice to wait for this? And to give them some big goals to save for so that it's easier for them to say no to the little things.
So what could responsible spending look like for a kid with a small business? I spoke to a pair of young entrepreneurs who've started using some responsible money habits they learned from starting their Florida-based surfing brand, Crepik.
There was big waves, so I was surfing them. And when I came out of the water, my brother, Ethan, said, how was it? And I said, it was crazy, but epic. It was Crepik. And then that's how the name was created.
That's Merritt Perlin. He's 11 years old. He and his 15-year-old brother, Ethan, started their business in 2017, and they now sell hats and clothing, mostly online, to people looking for some adventure. And on top of saving their earnings, these two are getting in the habit of making some money moves. Rather than blowing all their money on the newest game or phone, the two donate a portion of their money to charity. They reinvest some back into their company and even put some into the stock market with the help of their parents. Here's Ethan Perlin.
We can expand and we can also learn about stocks, buying stocks, selling stocks, the whole market essentially, which is a really, really, really good thing to know about.
Which they say help them get in the habit of thinking about where their money goes.
Because if you reinvest now, put everything in early, then maybe you can do something. Maybe you can grow and make the smart decisions, not the ones you want to make in the moment.
But mistakes happen, and there are plenty of ways of losing your money that aren't your fault, no matter how smart you are with it. With online accounts comes the need for online safety, especially for younger account holders. According to a report by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, last year, internet crime victims under the age of 20 lost an estimated $210.5 million. Keeping your online money safe starts off with keeping your information private as much as you can. Leslie Jones from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau also teaches others about keeping their money safe. She compares it to keeping your physical self safe.
For example, we wear helmets when we ride a bike, we put on a seatbelt when we're riding in a car to protect our things, we might use zippers, we use locks, and then making that comparison to what we do to protect our information. We learn to keep ourselves private, we learn to keep ourselves safe, and that translates then into what we need to do to keep our money safe.
There are some absolute no's of the things that kids shouldn't share online.
Your birth date is one that you should be cautious about. I realize that people are looking for the, are you over 13, are you under 13? But your birth date provides an avenue to so much of your personal information. Try not to give your full name. Just that magic of, you don't really know my middle name, can be incredibly important.
When dealing with banking information, Jones says a social security number probably isn't much of an issue, just because kids mostly don't know theirs yet. But they should still be careful about what information they give out.
The more information you give, the easier it is to find you. I say electronically. It's that, how do we make identity theft and fraud happen? We do because we have way too much information about you. The more that we give, the easier it is to put that puzzle together. I like to be a somebody that's sitting here going, I'm only going to give you three pieces of a five-piece puzzle, and you're not going to be able to figure out what those other two are. So you should always be cautious.
The next step after keeping your information to yourself is making sure the things you're clicking on are safe too.
We get those emails as adults, and somebody says, I need you to verify a bank account, or there's been fraud on your account. Please verify it. And we're taught that we're supposed to put everything down. Don't click the links in the email. Go to the site directly or check the back of your card and call the number that's on there. Get to the information that way. Same thing for kids. Don't follow that immediate click. Stop, check with somebody else, or go to the information in a different way.
But what about if something does go wrong? Someone gets access to your child's account, money is taken out, or some fraud is committed. Okay, let's go back to our example. If protecting your financial well-being is like wearing a helmet when on a bike, it might be helpful to have some bandages in case you fall anyway. Meaning, safeguards to catch things after the fact. On top of having a strong password, fingerprint, or face ID, a good safe money habit is just looking at your statements.
So making sure that you monitor your transactions is just incredibly important because you're going to catch something faster.
So remember those summaries that your debit card or payment app can give you? Take advantage of those. They'll list everything you spent your money on and help you spot anything that seems off.
And if their bank or credit union offers fraud protections of some kind, opt into that. Make sure that you're taking advantage of those protections and know what steps to take if you find something or you see something that's incorrect.
But we've talked about a lot more than bank accounts. Kids are using digital payment apps like Venmo and Cash App to manage and store their money. And there are some things to watch out there if kids are using them. First, when you go to send or transfer money to someone, double and triple check the information of the person you send it to.
A big problem that we've heard from any user of those products is that number that you type in that phone number, you click send, and it's gone. And if you have put in the wrong number, it's a problem.
And Leslie says, be careful what bank account that payment app is attached to.
If you have it attached to your entire savings account, then there's a possibility that you lose way more than you had planned to. So trying to maybe put in an account where you don't have as large of a balance, so there's more control over it, makes a lot more sense.
So we've talked a lot about what kids should keep in mind when they're making decisions about their money. But parents and guardians, here's where you come in.
It's just really critically important for us as the loved ones in their lives, helping them figure out what to do, helping them to get to a good future of financial habits and norms. Let's teach it to them when they're 8 or 9 or 10 and they figure it out and they get some good habits. Hopefully then they're not doing that when they're young adults and suddenly it affects something truly critical in their lives.
Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk writes about money and says that these habits can be started early on and they can serve for a lifetime of financial decision-making.
It's very easy to just spend money without knowing what you're spending. So I keep a list, even for myself today, I keep a list of all my grocery store expenses. And I can keep track of it. I can say, oh, that was a little heavy that month. What can I do to cut back? Or what other areas of my budget might I have to pare back? If you don't keep track, it's very hard to know. So I try that with my own kids. Like we sit down and we talk about it. We have accounts for them, just little accounts where they can just, you know, they can look at their accounts online and they can see what they have. And we talk about spending and saving and we talk about money purchases. Just having these open conversations is really important. The habits you form early on really do last you a lifetime. And the earlier you can start with your children, it's never too early to start.
And that's it for your Money Briefing. Today's show was hosted and produced by me, Ariana Aspuru. It was mixed and scored by Jessica Fenton. Jonathan Sanders is our booking producer. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.